everybody, and welcome to the first episode of 90s Horror Films. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and so this is kind of funny. I have my co-host for 80s Horror Films joining me for the first episode of 90s Horror Films. Now, what's funny about that is she is not a 90s horror girl, but I asked her to do this episode because, well, I figured we're going to branch into this new series, and I felt bringing Rebecca Reinhart on board for the first episode was great, and luckily she actually has a lot to say about this particular movie. How are you doing, Rebecca?
I am fine, and I'm not just not a 90s girl. I abhor the 90s for the most part. I could probably give you a list of 10 movies I would do a podcast from the entire decade on. This would be one. And of course, he suckered me into it because he's like, well, it's the first episode, and you know, August has a Friday the 13th, so we could do the only Friday the 13th that was in the 90s. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that.
It is.
It's kind of sad.
I forgot how part 8 was like 88, you know, and so, and that was the last one up until Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday, which is the one we're talking about right now. And then there wasn't another one till 2001 with Jason X. So it's just, it's a little strange that, you know, like you would have thought that there'd be more Friday the 13th in the 90s, but I guess this film sort of crushed any
I guess we can kind of get into some of the background of this. So this is the first one after New Line got a hold of the franchise, because basically Jason Takes Manhattan was did not perform well, and so they sold the franchise off to New Line.
I love part 8. I love Jason Takes Manhattan.
So this went to New Line, and then inevitably, of course, they were going to try to do what all of us had talked about since we were on the playground when we were in elementary school. We got to have Jason and Freddy fight, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and here it is. And so what had happened was, to try to get all that together was just taking so long, you know, just with schedules and, you know, getting contracts and just everything. So they made Jason X in 2001 against every fiber of my being. They made that, and they made it in the future so that they could still do Jason Goes to Hell and not screw around with the timeline. Mm-hmm. Or not Jason Goes to Hell, I'm sorry, Freddy versus Jason. So that's why Jason X even came about, because it had been so long and they were like, okay, we got to put a movie out where people are just not going to be interested anymore.
Well, I mean, and this isn't a Jason X show, but like, it really, this does have a thing to do with it, is like, they never explained how he got resurrected in Jason X, you know, like how he came back. And I guess you don't need that, you know, it's all, you
well,
know.
Because that would have happened after Freddy versus Jason.
Would it?
Like way in the future. Yeah. It's like I think it's like 2022 or something. I don't know. I've tried to put every memory of that movie out of my head, but Jason X is like way in the future, like decades.
So you're saying, okay, so you're saying that, because I swear to God, I always thought that the end of Jason X was the beginning of Jason Freddy versus Jason.
Jason. Nope. The end of this is the beginning of Freddy versus Jason.
Okay, well, the end,
and that
of this
was always the plan, and that was always the plan, you know, with the hand coming up, you know, the glove, getting the mask and everything in the beach. But then they just made Jason X so far in the future so that it wouldn't screw up their timeline when they went back to do Freddy vs. Jason. I can't believe I'm like defending Jason X in any way, shape, or form, but yes, it had its place. Okay.
Well, look, I have my Jason mug. I'm happy. Mm-hmm.
I am not wearing a Jason shirt today, but this was completely by accident. I am wearing a Read More Necronomicon shirt that plays a part in this movie as well.
Yeah. So let's, first of all, when you first saw this movie, were you a fan?
So this came out in 93. This would be during my high school / video store years. I worked at a video store all through high school. And horror was just miserable. That's one of the reasons I hate 90s horrors, because as soon as I get a job, like I spent all my time as an adolescent in video stores. And then as soon as I get a job at a video store, like everything coming out sucked ass. Mm-hmm. So that's part of my like part of my problem. But this came out, you know, and I watched it and I thought it was all right. I don't think I really thought anything of it one way or the other. I watched it maybe one more time a few years later. I think my husband at the time like was sick of me watching like the first four. And so he went to rent movies at the video store and he's like, here, will you watch something besides the same four fucking movies? So I watched it and I liked it. I mean, I always say, I think it's a good movie. I just don't think it's a Friday the 13th movie. And it's not, I mean, they couldn't even call it Friday the 13th. Right. And so then with the age of the internet over the last few years, I have found that there are a lot of people that shit on this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I'm like, well, I'm going to rewatch it. And I've done a couple podcasts on it and I've become like a very staunch defender of this film, because of how many people are haters.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's warranted. I think that you have to kind of look at what Adam Marcus was given and asked to do. You have to look at, I mean, you know, they don't have the name Friday the 13th. You know, he had originally wanted Tommy Jarvis to be a character. Couldn't use Tommy Jarvis because that still belonged to Paramount. You know, I mean, so if you look at all of those things together, I mean, I know that people will say, well, you have to look at the movie. I mean, you know, whatever circumstances they had, you have to look at the movie. Well, even if I still look at the movie, I'm like, it's pretty kick ass. I mean, K&B did the effects and, mm-hmm. you know, they tried something different. They blew Jason up into a million pieces in the very beginning. Come on. Is that not badass? So, yeah. So I will defend this movie. I'm not saying it's perfect. It's not one that I go back to a lot. But yeah, like I've become kind of a Jason Goes to Hell supporter.
All right. So when I first saw the movie, I remember was it was on like I want to say like USA or one of those channel, maybe it was HBO, but something, you know, one of the channels on television, because my friend had cable, you know, and I was mm-hmm. up visiting him. He was up in Massachusetts, and I want to say middle school or like early high school when I saw it, which means it must have saw like 80, I want to say 97 or something, mm-hmm. you know, or so 98.
Hence the gap in our horror nostalgia.
Exactly. Well, that's funny. And I'm going to actually get into more stuff about 90s horror because this is the first episode and I do want to point some stuff out, but I watched it on television and I remember going, what the heck, like I'm not used to, you know, like I didn't like it, you know, like it turned me off, especially the jumping from body to body, because like, you know, at that particular point I was used to sneaking around watching Jason movies and all of them were like, you know, Jason in a mask and, you know, in at a camp or at a, you know, or at a cabin killing people.
And this wasted your precious time with cable. I understand.
I was just like, what is going on? It just was not what I was used to. So I didn't like it, you know, and I kind of turned it off. Right. And anytime people are like, oh, you should see Jason Goes to Hell. Right. I'd be like, no, I don't want to see a worm go into some guy's mouth. And then, you know what I mean? Like that sounded so, even just saying it sounds weird.
I mean, it doesn't mean, and I think the thing is too, like, it doesn't sound weird. You watch a lot of movies where a worm goes into a dude's mouth and people jump from body to body. It's just that it was a Jason movie and it was just too different.
It was too different for that. And and as you said, it's not a Jason movie. It's not a Friday the 13th movie. It's a Jason movie. It's not a Friday the 13th movie. And I absolutely agree. I think, but it is weird, like, because I was watching the Crystal Lake Memories documentary that they had. And they were talking about how basically you get the first, you know, you get to see him in the beginning and he gets blown up in the first 5 minutes of the movie. And then you're like, shit, what the fuck is going on? Like, how's he? And all the fans wanted to see him come back, right? Like he would normally would, right? And so this time he doesn't come back until like the end of the end of the movie. And then it's almost like you're seeing a brand new a friend of, you know, like your friend comes back or whatever, you know, and that's how they kind of explained it. So I totally agree with that. I think it was kind of cool because you only see, and it's like now that I've seen it again, because I rewatched it, I want to ask Kane Hodder one big question. And, and the big question is, what did you think of this, considering you're only in it for like 20 minutes of the movie, if even, you know?
I guarantee he doesn't care because he got paid. I guarantee he got paid just as much, if not more, than he did for part 8.
Well, and on top of that, he was a stunt coordinator, so he got to, you know, he was on set probably every day anyway. But I'm just, it's so weird. And then he got to call himself a pussy, so that was kind of cool, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, it was cool to see him as a security guard, because you don't really get to see that. Like,
yeah,
you know, it would have been more cool if they had like all the other Jason stunt guys as like extras, you know, as like small.
Yeah, roles. that would have been cool. Yeah, you know?
But
I'm sure they didn't have the budget either, because the studio was taking a gamble in even picking this back up because Part 8 had done so badly. I was surprised that they got it. I think it was all because they wanted to pit him against Freddy eventually. I think that's probably the only thing that made New Line even think about doing this.
Well, from what I heard on the Crystal Lake Memories thing is that that was just an added like thing in the script, was like that Jason or that Freddy comes up and grabs the mask and everything. That wasn't like, and I think that was not like originally planned. I don't know.
I'm saying, I'm calling bullshit on that, because like I said, I mean, I remember being in like fourth grade and kids on the playground talking about who would win, Freddy versus Jason or Jason versus Michael or whatever. That's something like we wanted, like, I mean, forever. And it would just be stupid not to like take your two monsters and try to make like a universal monster type universe. Okay, that sounded really stupid, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you've got two of the biggest, like, bad guys that are out there right now. I mean, how could you not?
I know. Well, I'm kind of sad that, Michael Myers went to Universal, you know, of all places. Yeah. Because if they had gone to New Line, we could see this as a thing. You know?
I know. And people will say, we've seen some of these things, like, in comics. We have, like, Ash and Jason together in comics. If anybody likes comics, graphic novels, all that stuff, I am totally, that's cool. I just don't consider any of those canon to any of the universes. The Evil Dead ones, I don't. The Jason ones, the novelizations and stuff, you know, that people will be like, well, so-and-so's last name was da-da-da because it was in the novelization. And I'm like, but was it in the script? Because that's what really matters to me. But
okay. So I have a big question for you as a fan of Friday the 13th and knowing that this, do you consider this canon? Like, absolutely.
I do consider this canon. I even consider Jason X canon, even though I don't like it. It was part of the main line. I mean, okay. Did everything kind of change the whole landscape? First 8, those were it. And the rest of them, you can like them or not like them, but they don't belong. But I do consider even the reboot. I mean, I still consider all of those in the, you know, I guess in the universe, the canon, I guess is probably maybe a little too strong of a word to use, but.
Well, yeah. I asked this because then that means that you consider that Jason had a sister.
Yes. So, getting into some of those things, I don't usually like over explaining things. Like, it's the one thing I didn't like about the Rob Zombie Halloweens is it was way scarier when Michael Myers was just a normal kid who like cracked one night, and not like a kid who like had a drunk stepdad and mom was a stripper and, you know, lived in this like crappy, you know, trailer or whatever. it made it way scarier. So I'm not big on like backstory. However, in this one, it does show that Pamela and or Elias had another kid. They don't really say either way, but since it's Voorhees, shut the door, please. Since it is Voorhees, I would think it'd be Elias. And Pam, we all obviously know Pam went off, you know, she went off the rails, but who's to say that she didn't have a kid after Jason died? So that, I mean, there's enough time padding for that. And then the other thing is, the other thing I really like is with the Necronomicon. So Adam Marcus had this idea that Pamela read from the Necronomicon and that she brought Jason back. And that's why Jason wasn't Jason. And Sam Raimi loved the idea so much that the Necronomicon that's in that movie is from the Evil Dead. Said right. Sam Raimi like loaned it, you know? So, I mean, I really like that idea of like explaining, hey, everybody, you've all been wondering how the hell this kid drowned and then, you know, did what he did. Jason's a Deadeye. I like that concept. I mean, you know, and we've got to face it too. This is the fifth movie. I had to count earlier. I was like, is it really? It's the fifth movie that a director has been handed that they've been told, okay, you got to do something different. Yeah. Right. Like we've already been like imposter Jason, comedy Jason, Carrie versus Jason, Jason in New York, you know, like where do you go from there? And I think it was a cool idea that like, well, Jason is supernatural. There are only so many ways you can kill him. Only so many times you can kill him. So let's just go with it. Let's just say, what if you do kill his corporeal form? What happens? Jason doesn't die. I like that.
Well, it's funny because we got Jason in Manhattan. So we got Jason in the hood, you know, mm-hmm. already. you know, I absolutely loved, and then we got Jason in space. So he's a follow Leprechaun, you know, pretty closely. You
yes. know? Yeah. And yeah. Which Leprechaun in space and Leprechaun in the hood. Those are, yeah. those are amazing movies.
So now we need Jason versus Leprechaun, but.
But now we don't have Warwick Davis. So it doesn't really matter as much. Now we don't have Robert Englund most likely as Freddy. So, you know, those days are kind of gone, but you know.
Why don't we have Warwick Davis? Why can't he come back?
They didn't bring him back for the last one, that Leprechaun Origins. The right. one that was on the Sci-Fi Channel that Stephen
that was like an Origins, Zansky did. Right? Like it wouldn't well, make it's no still, sense.
Or not Origins. It was the other one. The most recent one, but they didn't have him back. The guy that played him was actually really good. I really enjoyed that movie.
Right.
Like I said, Stephen Kostansky from The Void and Astron 6 and all that stuff, he directed that one. And it's pretty good. So, I mean, I can't say anything too. I'm guessing it had probably something to do with, you know, Warwick's getting up there in age. Yeah. Not that the Leprechaun, like, has to be useful.
Well, I mean,
but it worked.
But then it would come to the question of, like, do Leprechauns age? You know, and
right,
you know, and that could be interesting, like Leprechaun in a retirement home, you know. I don't know, I'd watch that.
He went to the hood. Why can he go to the retirement home, John? I can feel a script coming on.
I know, right? And then
actually, you know what? Okay, no. What would be hilarious is, you know, you've got all these old people like stuffing their money under their mattresses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because that's what old people do, and like the leprechauns trying to get their gold. Yeah.
Oh Lord. And then we could have Bruce Campbell you know
play Elvis.
As Elvis. Oh Lord. Oh,
full circle here, kids. Yeah. Full circle. That's okay. What we're here for.
We don't just talk about the movies. We talk about other movies and other, you know, franchises and all our podcasts, right. You know, because, you know, we're.
Well, and it is because when you're a fan, it's hard to just put these things in a little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, especially when you're talking about franchises. I mean, you can't. This is not a standalone movie. Jason Goes to Hell is not a standalone movie. And I can't imagine, like, if somebody was like, oh, the only Friday the 13th I've seen is Jason Goes to Hell, I'd be like, well, you need to probably watch a few more.
this would be the, like, the worst one to start on, you know? Because you'd be so fucking confused.
Confused. Like, where is he? Like, even Jason X, okay, yeah, he turns into Mecha Jason, and he's a robot and stuff. But, like, still, he's in it. He's in it a lot. You know, you're going, okay, he's a little different, but it's still what I expected from this movie. But, yeah, this one, you have to use your imagination on this one, that the people.
I mean, I compare it more to Jason, which also has a final. The new, not the final chapter, but the new beginning, where he's not Jason. Yeah. It's somebody else. So we get tricked at the end of the movie.
Why is that, that's another one that I never realized that people hated until the internet. And, like, I'm like, I don't understand. I never once thought of that. And all the times that I watched it, I never once was like, oh, I feel like I got duped.
Well, it's the point.
I'm like, it's a guy in a mask killing people.
But it's not Jason, which goes to the fact that, like, you know, like, this actually is Jason. He's just using people's bodies, you know?
Right. But, well, and there was a concept, I think, with part five I had heard on, I've been, like, when I got the Blu-ray set, I watched all of them with commentary, but there was a concept that every, like, Jason could be anybody. Jason could be in you. He could be anybody. And that was the concept with part five. And this is really, like, the flip side of it. Like, the one is, like, anybody can be Jason. Now it's, like, Jason can be anybody. I mean, it works for me.
That's true. Holy crap. I never thought about that. So these are companion movies, I guess, too. Like, you can.
They are. They're bookends.
Yeah.
They're bookends.
Which, and what is it? And the other one before it was the final Friday, or was it final chapter? And then they try to do final Friday.
Right.
I will never name any of my, like, if I have a franchise, never name any of it final anything, you know. Even they tried the Final Destination, you know.
Yeah, the, yeah, don't put a the in anything either.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I just want to point out that I went to the Kiss farewell tour in the year 2000. Right. So yeah, you know, once, you know, that kind of has lost a little bit of legitimacy. Final, last, all that stuff.
All that farewell, you know, no, yep. These aren't farewells. They'll be back. Mm-hmm. If they make money, they'll be back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a dollar, which is why we had part five.
Right. So. Because part four did well. But yeah. The final, I'm surprised we had Jason X, considering that I don't think that the final, this one, the Jason Goes to Hell, was nearly as profitable as they probably were hoping.
No, it's this one was the second worst performing. However, it cost like $3 million and it made like 16, which I'm like, in what universe is that bad?
Okay,
I mean,
never mind.
I know you're kind of expecting, like, your cash cow to maybe, you know, get you a little bit more, but I mean, I think, you know, considering they went a different route, they hired a 21-year-old to direct it.
Which is amazing.
I mean, I can't imagine being Adam Marcus and you being 21, just out of film school, and being like, you're going to do the next Friday the 13th, and you have to do something that no one's ever done before. Completely different. Like, you know, and people like to shit on him too. And I don't get it. I don't.
I don't get it either. I know he's doing a documentary about the Hearts of Darkness documentary about the making of this movie, and my friend Allie is actually a producer on there and everything. Nice. So I'm really excited about that. I actually just told her I'm doing this podcast today about it, because, you know, just letting her know. And
I'm,
I said, I would mention it.
And you know, when I watched this, when I got the Blu-ray set, I watched this with Adam Marcus's commentary, and I already was a defender. But, like, in hearing his commentary, I was like, yeah, all y'all can shut the fuck up. Because he did what, you know, he did something monumental, I feel. And we haven't even mentioned, too, it really gets overlooked. But what about Creighton Duke? Like, one of the best characters in this entire freaking franchise came out of this movie.
I quoted last night, I don't know if you saw my post yesterday. But I was, when I was watching it, right, I had to post a quote from the movie, and I'll read the quote right now if I can get freaking service here. We're both having problems with our services,
right?
Apparently.
We're all going back to 1993 tonight on internet.
Apparently, not by choice.
56K, baby.
Yeah, okay, so there's only one way to put an end to them for all time, and I'm the only one who knows the way. So if you want them dead, truly dead, 500 grand is my fee, and for that you get the mask, the machete, the whole damn thing. When I heard him say that right before that whole line, I thought Robert Shaw from Jaws. Now, I had not seen this movie in forever, and I hadn't, you know, whatever. What, and I was like, right before then, I was like, this guy feels like he's Quint. No, was it Quint? It was Quint.
Yeah.
You know? And he felt like Quint, you know, absolutely. And then he says that line. I was like, that's perfect. That's perfect.
I can see that. But like, to me, I always felt like he was so unique. I think part of it is because it is the 90s.
Right.
Because they totally have embraced the fact that Jason was indeed really there, really killing. Like, when everything else, he's a legend. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this one, it's like, they do Inside Edition kind of, you know, crappy tabloid show. And so he fits with that whole mythos of like the bounty hunter brought into modern times, you know, the modern times of the 90s. But like, he just is, I think he's so awesome. And like, I always wanted him to have like a spinoff, like where he was a bounty hunter for like other serial killers. How cool would that be?
Well, it's New Line. He could do Freddy, you know?
I think he's been in like some of the. If Dr. Loomis, like we went back and Dr. Loomis, like, you know, was like paying Creighton Duke to like track down Michael Myers and stuff.
That would be funny.
You're welcome, John Carpenter.
Sadly, you keep trailing too because the connection.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
It's that damn dial up.
I know. From the 90s. Oh my goodness.
Right. Well, this is going to sound like a 90s podcast.
That's whatever a 90s podcast would sound like.
That would have sounded like, yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those films where like the characters are unique. I love Creighton Duke's scene where he breaks the guy's hand or knuckles or whatever.
Yeah, in the jail.
Oh my god, that scene there. I re-saw it in the Crystal Lake Memories. They showed that scene and I was like, still cringing every time I heard the knuckles break.
Oh yeah,
like I was just like, yeah, I don't even need to see it. I'm just like, oh, you know, yeah. Like it just sounded terrible. But I mean, obviously it was a really good scene with him and John. Was it LeMay?
LeMay.
Yeah, he was great. Like all of them, all the actors in it were amazing.
That's how you say his name.
What? How? How'd you say it?
Sitcom royalty. AY is his last name.
Okay. But yeah, it was really cool. It's one of those films that I, you know, it's on HBO Max. If you guys have HBO Max, all the Jason movies.
And if you don't have the Blu-ray set, why don't you have the Blu-ray set?
I don't have the only dear Lord, I'm hearing some feedback too. Crap. So the only Blu-ray set I have is the first 8.
Okay, that's acceptable. It was a chunk of change to get this new one.
I know. And it was only limited edition too, which pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of those people that hate fucking limited editions. I know Sharks of the Corn, which you were in, is a limited edition, and SRS does that all the time. And
the reason why SRS does that is because they have to buy the movies up front and don't know if people are going to buy them or not.
Right. No, that's understandable.
So now actually Sharks of the Corn got national distribution. So you can get it on Amazon and whatnot. But yeah, like, I mean, whenever Ron Bonk puts out a movie, you know, I mean, he has to front the money and then has to hope that people are going to buy them. So, you know, I understand him doing limited edition, but yeah, Scream Factory. Although I have to say that one of the prints is hanging above my fireplace and it is beautiful.
But also, like, they go for you who are like huge Jason fans to the extreme. Like, this is probably your favorite franchise, you know, period.
This is by far. Yeah. And then with this one, you know, a lot of times when they put these sets out, they add like one or two stupid little things that just don't really make it worth your while. But on this one, they actually found the lost footage for part two. So that was a huge reason to buy this if you were totally a fan of the franchise as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Something literally had never been seen before that everybody thought was gone. And so, yeah, I mean, they found it on a VHS in the effects guy's basement. It had been there since, how you don't know that you've got the lost footage of Friday the 13th part 2 in your basement. I don't know, but I don't care, because that was pretty cool. So
some people have pretty crazy basements that have a lot of shit in there, and they're just like,
yeah,
it gets cluttered up, man. Maybe that's what happened, but I'm glad they found it. I'm also glad that they, you know, that they put out the whole series and not just the 8, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I know for a long time that was a problem because of Paramount and New Line. So to be able to put it out, all of them out in one collection, man, Scream Factory, thank God. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they did a great job. So, but if we get back to Jason Goes to Hell, another thing that we didn't talk about that I really like is they did a bait and switch. Put Aaron Gray, very likable, noteworthy name. Everybody loves her. She's kind of like an America's sweetheart type person. They put her in and she's a Voorhees.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really expect for her to be Final Girl. And she freaking gets it bad. And you really don't expect her daughter. I didn't feel like it was just like a great, I don't know, strong character, strong enough to be a Final Girl, but I thought it was kind of cool that they did say, oh, we're going to pull the rug out from under you guys. She's not going to be your final girl.
You know, and I don't think the final girl was the daughter, you know, I guess you want to call it that. There was also a final guy, you know, the main guy.
Final baby.
And a final baby. You know,
not that the baby did a lot, but the baby survived it all.
So my big question was, like, because they said he needed to be reborn, basically, right? Which they could have just called this Jason Reborn, you know, which everything else is called Reborn.
True.
But they call it Jason Goes to Hell, which actually I like better. But when I first heard Jason Goes to Hell as a title, I literally thought it meant we were going to see him in hell.
Right, like South Park, when, you know, Kenny's in hell with the devil. Yeah.
And like that's he's just killing think. Like demons and other people, like, you know.
Right, or they're tormenting him. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when we heard Jason Takes Manhattan, we thought we'd see Jason in Manhattan. And really, we see Jason on a boat and in Manhattan for like 5 minutes. So we should have known.
We should have known, but even Jason Takes Manhattan had Manhattan for a longer time. We never even got hell. You know,
we never saw him in hell.
We saw him get taken to hell or whatever.
Yeah.
But we never saw him actually in hell, which we did in Freddy versus Jason.
We got to see that
a little bit. So that was kind of cool, you know, that they kind of showed that both of them are in hell, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it was cool that it was Kane's arm that took the mask away as Freddy's. I didn't, re-listening to it, I hated whoever did Freddy's voice. you know, as the ha ha ha, you know, that was just, it was terrible. It was, it didn't sound like Freddy at all. It didn't even sound like a somebody making fun of Freddy. I mean, you got it because you saw the hand, you know?
Right. And I think at that point in time, all they're thinking is, you see the hand, the audience is going to go, whoa! Nobody's going to be listening to the laugh anyway. If they would have paid, well, I mean, you were watching it on HBO waiting for something to happen, but I could see that, like, why would you pay Robert Englund a bunch of freaking money just to do one thing when it's just, it's going to be overshadowed by everybody just yelling and screaming.
Right. I get that. Yeah.
And then we can't forget too that Jason can only be killed with the Kandarian dagger too, because he's a Deadite. Come on.
That's awesome.
I love that because I'm a huge Evil Dead fan too. So
I
thought it was all cool.
I did not know that Sam Raimi was like A-OK'd this completely or whatever, you know, because that makes my heart, you know.
Yeah. Because and you have to think too that he probably saw this young filmmaker who was getting ready to embark on something that he knew was gonna be a big undertaking, and he probably saw a little bit of him in Adam Marcus, I would think.
Well, it's funny because Evil Dead came out in this time period of 1980, and so did the original Friday the 13th. Yeah. So they kind of go hand in hand together, I guess. You know, I've always say it's kind of funny whenever people ask me what are my favorite horror films, you know, which I get asked that a lot. You know, if you know anybody who, you know, finds out you're a horror fan, I'm sure you get that asked all the time. Oh, yeah. So my top five usually are, you know, it starts with Evil Dead. Evil Dead is my favorite film of all time, horror film of all time. Then it goes to Jason Takes Manhattan as my second, and my third is Scream. So, and Scream and and Jason Takes Manhattan are intertwined, so sometimes I'll say one or the other, you know, as my mm-hmm. second or third. But
it does my heart good, the Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead is your favorite, because so many people are they're like, oh, Evil Dead 2 is so superior. No. Like, okay, like a mulligan. Like, it was like, hey, Evil Dead. And I'm like, I love the grittiness. I love the amateurness. I don't know. Is that a word? Of the first one. Like, the first one is my favorite.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, here's the thing. I always say this, especially because it's, to me, it's the scariest movie I've ever seen. You know, like, it's the movie that if you go have like Dolby surround sound and everything, and you put on a Blu-ray, any kind of Blu-ray of Evil Dead, the sounds and everything make you feel like you're there, and it creeps me the fuck out. I have to turn it off sometimes. And it's one of those movies because I truly, you know, I mean, obviously I believe in the like serial killers are real, but you know, but for some reason, serial killer movies don't scare me. Demonic shit fucking terrifies me because it's just something that right. like, I feel is
because
real.
It's coming at you from the outside and the inside. It's taking over the people that you trust, and now you don't know if you can trust them or not. It's the same thing with The Thing. Like, if you ever thing. Put that on surround sound. Or I got to actually watch that in a movie theater on 35 millimeters all around you. And then it's nice. The whole idea of you don't know if the bad is out there or if it's in here.
Nice. Well, also Jason Goes to Hell is that way. It's just like The Thing, you know, where you just don't know who the killer is, you know, yeah. or whatever. So it's kind of coming all around you. And the one thing I hated about this movie I have not listened to commentaries or haven't heard anybody say anything about this, but, and so correct me, like whatever, but I absolutely hate the fact that one of the characters actually speaks, you know, when he's possessed in Jason's body, because everybody else didn't. Nobody said a word, and it was like, okay, that's Jason. But there's one character, I forgot what the characters, he was one of the cops or whatever. So there are two cops that came in, you know, and Creighton's like, kill him, kill him, kill him. And so she attacks the one guy, and the guy kind of helps her or whatever. But he had said something. I forgot what the line was exactly, but he says a line to the girl. Then all of a sudden you find out he's Jason.
Yeah.
So
I never really thought of that. Did the coroner say anything?
No.
I guess he didn't. I guess you're right. Yeah, I never thought of that.
And I liked that in the beginning. Like, that's what I was thinking of when I was watching it, going, he's Jason, you know, this guy's Jason, you know, like, even when the woman, Aaron Gray's character is, you know, like, sees the guy coming after her and attacking the other cop, attacking her, she, you know, he doesn't say a word to her, you know? And so I'm like, okay, he's Jason. You know, that makes sense. Then there's one line and the person says something to the cop, you know, or whatever, or something, you know, do you want me to, you know, take her out or something, you know, some line. And I'm like, so I thought, oh, that can't be Jason because he said something. Then
Jason even consider like, yeah, would he even ask for permission anyway?
Yeah.
If he could, would he? No.
No, he would just, you know, so no. And then the only reason I thought he actually said a word was to prove that he wasn't Jason. Jason wouldn't do that. Like, that's just.
Yeah, he hasn't cared this entire movie.
He hasn't cared this entire movie. And on top of that, he doesn't care. He does not speak. That's the greatest part about Jason. Is he doesn't talk. You know, he cocks his head, but he doesn't talk. And so that was one thing I hated. And then I saw other people talking about how they hated the mask and the head, you know, bulging out and stuff. And I thought his look was pretty. I mean, it didn't bother me. You know, it's just a new look, look for Jason. But I mean, now that people are saying that, I'm like, yeah, it's probably my least favorite look of Jason. I don't know who did the makeup for that particular.
K&B did all the effects.
Right. So I don't know if they did the actual like.
So, I mean, I would think they would have been in charge of his design. I mean, if you hire K&B, you're not just like, hey, could you guys do some blood splatter for us?
Right. They'll probably try to make him look cool. Now, I really love, and a lot of people probably hate, but I love the look of him in Jason X. They took him to like the next level on that one, you know.
Okay. I will say that. And so my friend Maurice McKittrick put it perfectly. When I was trying to say this, and he took the words out of my mouth. He said,
"What? I can't hear you."
Uber Jason is so freaking cool. Uber Jason is so freaking cool. He just got stuck in a crappy movie.
I kind of feel bad about that because like I don't know. I saw Jason X is the first movie of any of the Jasons I got to see in the theater, you know, because I was a kid when all the other movies, like I was born 82. So literally I was born when Jason, Friday the 13th 3 was coming out, you know, or whatever. So, you know, I didn't get to see Jason until like, you know, growing up until it was on like USA and I had to sneak it, you know, whenever people were watching television, I would go upstairs and watch Friday the 13th, then turn it off when my family was around because they didn't want me watching it. And I used to buy the books. There were like these little books that, I was obsessed with Jason, but I wasn't really supposed to be watching them or even, you know, doing that.
Right. Which, you know, the taboo of it is probably a lot of the reason why a lot of us like horror movies now as adults. There's something about the whole, we weren't supposed to be watching them. You know, we had to sneak them in. I think there's some appeal to it for that.
I wonder if that's still like how kids feel these days when they watch these movies. I don't know.
Okay, so I have the unique situation of I have two 10-year-olds who have just moved into my home, and my kid is 19. It's been a long time since I've had little kids around, and the things that, like, they'll be like, ooh, like they don't want to watch Friday the 13th movies, but like one of them loves the Friday the 13th game. Uh-huh. And then, like, we sit down to watch the movie, and he'll be like, oh, I know how that guy dies. I know how that guy dies. Because then they've watched, like, kill counts on YouTube. Right.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, well, so when they watch these movies, like, at least, you know, these Friday the 13th movies, they've already seen, like, the cool stuff.
Yeah.
So they're just sitting there, like, through all of the character development and all the other crap and going, you know, like, why do you watch this? Like, you know, why don't you just watch the kills? You know? So I don't know that, I think it's just a different generation. There's just a lot. I don't know that the kids these days can be like, I mean, I'm sure there's stuff that's taboo. The parents don't let them watch, but I just don't think it's horror at this point.
You know, I mean, I'm a horror lover. And if I ever have kids, if I ever do, God bless them. But if I ever have kids, I honestly think that I would not let them watch them, and I would try to make them sneak them, just like I did. Because
just for fun.
Well, not just for fun, but because it's an experience. It's like,
yeah,
you know, when kids would go out and fucking smoke, you know,
right?
And they weren't supposed to. Now, I never did that because I didn't like the smell of cigarettes and shit, but you know, and I didn't drink when I was young because I was always kind of a goody good kid who didn't like to do that because I thought I would get in trouble, you know, or whatever. But yeah, like other kids, like I would want them to do that. I would want them to have these experiences because that's part of growing up.
It's a rite of passage. Yeah,
exactly.
It is. Or it's part of growing up for us, in that maybe we're being a little too... It's a little too, I don't know, nostalgic there. You know, maybe it's a lost art on this generation. Who knows?
Maybe, but I hope not. I hope not, mainly because I really want to see, you know, I really want to see a group of kid filmmakers who are the next, you know, like, you know, I'm a little worried about the way the state of horror is going to go, you know? I feel like it's gonna go in a really weird way because kids never had this experience and stuff like that. So they're going to, it's gonna be just a different, you know, look at what horror actually is.
Yeah. You know? Well, and actually this gave me a little bit of hope earlier this year. Psycho Goreman, Stephen Kazansky, that I was talking about before. This movie, Psycho Goreman, is somewhere between a horror movie and a kid's movie. There's no like cussing, there's no sex. There's a lot of gore, but the protagonists are kids. And he said that the reason why he made that is because when he was a kid, he watched Terminator 2. Mm-hmm. And it was the movie he probably shouldn't have watched, but because, you know, Edward Furlong was a kid and because there was like the pop culture thing or whatever, he was like allowed to watch it, and that's what made him want to go into effects, because that's what he started out as. So he made Psycho Goreman in the hopes that some kids would see this because their parents accidentally let them watch it and that they would want to go into effects and filmmaking. And I think that's really cool, and that gave me just like a little tiny sliver of hope for the next generation.
I don't know if you want to get your parents to let you watch a horror film. I don't think naming it Psycho Goreman is going to be the way to do it.
But it's got two delightful kids on the front cover, and he's this like, you know, I mean, it's very comedic. It is horror comedy and whatnot. But yeah, it's definitely, the gore is definitely in there, but there's definitely a lot of other stuff for everybody to enjoy if you haven't seen that movie.
I haven't yet. Sam keeps telling me I gotta check it out, and maybe I will watch it this week, because we are doing another Horror Blood and Coffee episode, and I'm sure we can talk about that at some point on the show, because, you know, we're trying to do new stuff, but like, it's somewhat new. I think it came out this year.
It came out this year.
So, yeah. It counts.
Yeah. definitely.
But you know, but here's the thing, like it's so hard. So you get to go back to Jason Goes to Hell. You know, there were movies like this where you fucking see Jason blow up, and it's the most fucking most awesome, brutal blow up I've ever seen in a horror film. And then, oh man, that fucking gore that KMB did with the effects for and when they were camping and in the tent, the fucking like it, what is it? The sign, the road sign goes through the stomach and then rips it apart, and then you see like half of her body split, and it was like that was way before like visual effects or whatever. I thought that was fucking brutal. I loved it. Probably one of the best kill scenes I've seen in a Jason movie since obviously my favorite being the one everybody talks about, which is the sleeping bag one,
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, so to go back to the effects, I mean, that this movie you said is probably one of the most gory, and do you feel like it had to be because, the other ones may have lacked a little bit?
Well, I think there was a little bit of a backlash. I think horror, especially slashers, went way down in quality throughout the 80s, the second half of the 80s, to the point where they were just extinct by the 90s because the MPAA was just not allowing anything to be done. And so it had been kind of dormant, just like Jason. It had been dormant, quiet for a while. And so I think, times changed a little bit and they were able to push the envelope a little more. I do think that the one had the most gore. I mean, you get into like Freddy versus Jason and the reboot, okay, then all bets are off.
Right.
But this one definitely like it showed the upswing in what horror was allowed to do as per the MPAA. Because by 7 and 8, you could just tell they were like, and actually part 7, John Carl Beekler, which I hate that that's how he says his name or said his name, that he purposely didn't put gore in because that wasn't his first rodeo. And he was like, they're not going to let you do this. And the studio's like, we need more gore. He's like, I'll shoot more gore, but they're not going to let you do it. It's just going to waste your money. And sure enough, everything that got cut out, part 7, was everything that he had to put in extra to make it like studio friendly. We went through some weird stuff in the 80s, Satanic Panic, and movies are gonna rot your children's brains and they're all gonna become serial killers and everything else. There was a lot of weird stuff going on in the 80s. So I think we had gotten past that. And I think this was kind of the chance for, at least for this franchise, to like really show its true colors.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And to go back to that, I think they added that scene, those scenes with those kids going to add more gore to it because they didn't feel like there was enough. And
The wrist thing, I think, was added.
Yeah.
That we were talking about, in the jail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there's a few things that were added just to give it a little bit more more punch. But I liked it. I liked that. And I absolutely loved how he dies, with her jumping up and stabbing him through the heart and everything just kind of coming in. And then, she has to kick it in just to make sure he's gone or whatever. And because if you watch the beginning, it's so funny. I almost feel like somebody should edit. I don't know if anybody can or has already done this as a YouTube video. Edit the first half with Jason and end with the second half with Jason. It's almost like the same thing, Jason just throwing people around or, getting shot and getting like backing up, And
yeah,
it's all the same thing. It's really weird. But it's still sort of funny because like I said, it's like they bookend, the movie together. And then the rest is other people being Jason, which, was fun too. Is fun to see other. Yeah. See, I like that because it didn't trick us, you know, necessarily, because we knew, like,
right, like you, like the, it tricked the people in the movie, not the viewers. And right. Whereas part five was tricking the, well, the viewers, tricking both, I guess.
Yeah, it was tricking,
but, right, but it was tricking the viewers, and I think that was part of like why people were kind of like, yeah, like,
it's one of my least favorite by that. But I don't know. I have to rewatch it again because, but the thing is, every time I watch it now, I just go to myself and think, this is not Jason. Like, this guy's not Jason. Like, he's.
Hey, like, John, I'm going to point something out though. So Roy, his hockey mask has blue chevrons on it, right? So every time you see Roy and the imposter dude, that's him. However, every time Tommy is having a hallucination, the mask has red chevrons. That's Jason. So you can't tell me that Jason's not in it.
Okay. But those are hallucinations. You know, that's when he's...
Doesn't matter. He's still there. He's still in Tommy's head.
I know.
Always there.
So then they go into the sixth movie, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, we got to bring Jason back for real, you know?
Right. We're going to Frankenstein him. Let's electricity, yeah. And he's a zombie now. And, you know, part seven, like I said, we do Carrie versus Jason, which I really love. And it's the same thing I like with him getting stabbed with the dagger in the end of this one, is that, like, at that point in time, you can't just pit him against a normal human. Like, so part seven, I thought it was great that they pitted him against somebody with supernatural powers, because at that point in time, we know he is not human. He's something. We later have called him Zombie Jason, but he's whatever.
Right.
He has to have a formidable opponent. The other person has to have some sort of supernatural powers too. And so that's why I like Tina in that movie having the telekinesis, and I like the dagger being the thing that can really kill him in this one, because it does need to be something magical at that point in time.
Yeah, definitely. And I like that. Like, I like Tina doing the carry route. Like, I love that. You know, I'll tell you something. I'll tell everybody something. I wanted to do a fan film back in the day in 2013. I even had an Indiegogo for it. Unfortunately, nowadays you could do that because there's no, because
it's all tied up in courts.
Yeah, so nobody can go after you because nobody knows if they can or not, you know, technically, legally, or whatever. But at that time, I got a cease and desist from Crystal Lake Entertainment. So I'm like, great, now Crystal Lake Entertainment knows me as the guy that was going to rip them off, I guess.
Right, and now there are 4,000 fan films. So, yeah. You were ahead of the curve, John.
I was ahead of my time. But in my script, so somebody can do this, because I'm never going to do a fucking fan film. I learned my fucking lesson of just stick with the originals. But if anybody ever wants to do this, I want to do it where Tommy and Tina team up to fight Jason. That was always my idea of like an older Tommy and an older Tina fighting Jason together, you know. And
I think that might kind of be happening. I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure. I can't say that I know plot points, but I'm pretty sure that Tom Matthews and Laura Parker-Lincoln are together in a film that's being filmed right now.
That is awesome.
And I can't imagine imagine that it won't be Tina and Tommy.
If that's the truth, I will watch that. Hands down. You know, that'll probably be, well,
I'll do my research and I'll send you a message in a little bit.
Okay. That's perfect. But anyway, I love that. Like, I love those guys. And I love the Friday 13th franchise. That's why I wanted to do my fan film originally, was because I love Jason so much and I wanted it. I knew I would never probably direct one, just because there's a million people, you know, in the world, you know, there's millions, billions of people in the world that in a
right. It's everybody's dream. And if you think about that again, like Adam Marcus, he was just a dork like us. And, you know, he was 21 and like got handed that. Like, I mean, you know, if you think that like they handed it to one of us in our 30s, 40s, you know, like,
would we have done much better job? Again, I mean, who knows?
You got to have a little bit of respect for that.
I wouldn't have made.
I can tell you this, John. I would have spelled Voorhees on the mailbox correctly, but.
Wait,
that is my one problem with this whole.
I never noticed that.
And even he admits it. He's like he will never live it down. He spelled Voorhees with one O, or you know, whoever, his art director, whoever. But it went. It got past him. And so right. Yeah, Voorhees. When they go to the Voorhees house, it's V-O-R.
Wait, does that mean that this movie isn't canon? And you can use that as like an alternate thing because, you know, Voorhees is, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say that because I actually, I agree. This movie should be in the whole realm of all the other Friday the 13th movies. Now I did want to mention, we forgot to mention that John D. LeMay, who played, was it Sean? Stephen Freeman.
Stephen.
He was also also Ryan in the Friday the 13th series, which is funny that Tom McLaughlin, who directed part 6, also directed episodes of that. So
Adam Marcus, I think, wrote or directed a couple episodes of the Friday the 13th series too, I think.
Oh wow, there you go. So they all there ties together. Friday the 13th the series, so my friend had me watch it years ago. He had a copies of it, you know, he had me watch it years ago, or some of it, like a couple episodes. I like it. I wish that they had called it something else, you know, because it's
yes.
obviously not. It's not a Jason show or anything. And that's why
it just didn't really. Yeah. It just didn't really fit in. It was a good show. Like you said, it was a good show, but it wasn't like Freddy's Nightmares where like Freddy was like the host or whatever, you know, or right. Creep Show, you know, or any of that kind of stuff, or Tales from the Crypt would be a better analogy. Yeah. But yeah, if they would have called it something different, I think it would have been a little bit more closer to my heart.
Yeah, I mean it was a cool show. I liked it. It was fun, but it just wasn't. You know,
it was a cool idea.
But then I always feel like it's like
it should have been called.
Oh, go ahead.
Wasn't it the whole thing though that all the stuff in the antique shop had been from Crystal Lake and everything had a curse? So wouldn't it have made more sense to call it like Crystal Lake Mysteries, or you know, I mean that's cheesy, but you know, like not Friday the 13th. I mean, I know they're going with the branding, but it would have made more sense to be like the Curse of Crystal Lake or something like that, because they really didn't have anything to do with Jason and Friday the 13th. It just had to do with there was something weird in that area that cursed all those objects, from what I remember.
Well, if they kind of explored more of that, that would have been cool, like the idea, because you know, if they, you know, why we in Jason Goes to Hell, we get a glimpse of why Jason is cursed, you know, and everything like that. You know, how he comes back. We get all the backstory from, you know, that we didn't, like you said earlier, yeah. We kind of weren't wanting, you know, that much like exposition of what's going, you know what I mean? Of what's
but
going we, on.
You know, but it worked. I think it worked.
I think it worked too.
And I think too, the fact that we didn't have Jason a lot in this movie, but we actually had Jason's backstory a lot and his legacy, I think it kind of helped me like not have the like poo-poo
effects about Jason,
on
yeah.
Yeah, not having Jason. Yeah, because it really did focus on like, you know, what his parents did and who he was and why he was the way he was, even if we don't see him.
Exactly. Which, you know, I have honestly, like I said before, I think I even told you before, Jason Goes to Hell is like one of my least favorite movies before I rewatched it. After rewatching it, it's probably up there higher than a lot of other, you know, a couple other ones, you know, but it's still, I mean, it's still not one of my favorites. Like, you know, it's not my top five, you know?
Oh, no.
And it's so funny. Like I say, my number one is Jason Takes Manhattan, which everybody absolutely hates that one.
Not me.
A lot of people hate that one.
A lot of people hate it. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand. Like, I guess it's because they're expecting there's the parts that people that want everything to stay in Crystal Lake and stay over there. And then there's the other part that wants Jason to
more New York.
Well, yeah, more New York and less on the cruise. So I think like it should have been titled Jason Takes a Cruise to Manhattan.
Yeah. Jason follows some recent Crystal Lake graduates on a boat to Manhattan and kills Bandana Man and knocks over a boombox.
I don't know if that would
fit on a little wordy.
I don't know if that would fit on a marquee or not, but all right.
Probably not. Probably not.
We'll go with Jason Takes Manhattan because it was sort of a funny, who took Manhattan first? Was it Jason or the Muppets?
The Muppets.
Okay.
The Muppets. And I think that might be part of the problem is the Muppets did take Manhattan. Jason, he kind of just was there a little bit.
I wonder...
So that Rennie could get that stupid pendant.
Yep. Well, there you go. So, well, I just want to say thank you so much. This is the first episode, and we're going to continue every month, new episode coming up. I think one of the next ones, if not the next one next month, will be Candyman. So I'm really excited about that.
See, that's one I would do. That's one of my, I told you before, I have maybe 10 movies in the 90s that I would do a podcast on, and Candyman is one.
Right. And I think with the new,
so if you can't find somebody else, if you can't sucker anyone else, call me.
I think I have a bunch of people, but you still might be called in. I kind of want episodes where it's not just one person, you know, two people talking. I do want like a whole group of people chatting because I feel like it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of fun to have. Mm-hmm.
Candyman is the first movie, the first horror movie that made me cry in the theater. And I was a punk ass teenager. And I was like, going, I can't let anybody see me.
I'll probably share this again on the Candyman show, but Candyman told me I need to go to bed because I was too drunk once. Mm. You know, he was like, I saw him and he was like, you need to go to bed. And I was like, thinking, if Candyman tells you you need to go to bed,
right, then you need to go to bed.
You probably need to go to bed.
Yeah.
Because Tony Todd was just like looking at me like, son, hey, I wanted a party, I guess, but whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my favorite interaction with him. He is so sweet. He follows me on Twitter. He's just so nice. I love Tony. Oh man, he was in fucking the new He-Man movie, Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
That got panned really badly, but his voice in that, he did such a good job.
He definitely has like a trajectory to do voiceover work for the rest of his life. He's just got that voice.
Yeah. And I kind of hope he doesn't because I love seeing him, you know, but
he's never going to be Candyman again. They're never going to have him be Candyman again.
I thought, he
but it's kind of cool.
Isn't that Candyman in the new one?
I don't think so.
I think he is. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll do some fact checking, guys.
Yeah. I'm going to find out in 2 seconds right now because in the new Candyman, what he's listed as. Is he listed as Candyman? He is not. Oh, Daniel Robitaille, aka Candyman.
Oh.
The new one. Huh. So If they didn't do that and they just had him play like, you know, security guard or something like that, you know, like I would have been so fucking pissed. I would have been like, what a waste of his fucking time, you know? But anyway, thank you guys so much for checking this out. Join us next month and see what we have coming up. Also join our Facebook group. Facebook page, 90s horror films, because when you check on that, I'm going to try to update with a lot more stuff and information on every movie that we do, things like that. Try to get everybody, you know, kind of more educated on what we're talking about, even more than we are educating you on. So,
and if you're like me and you're not so 90s, go join our 80s horror film group on Facebook.
That was huge. Our podcast there. Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, and I love it. I absolutely, and that's what started this is we did 80s horror films with me and Rebecca, and we had a few other people originally, and it just kind of became just us. you know, sticking around at the end. But we'll be back next season with next year with brand new episodes of that, but in January, I believe. So get ready for that.
Awesome.
But until then, we're going to be doing 90s horror, and, you know, Rebecca might pop up again, you know, for ones that she can, you know, she can likes and loves.
That I can stomach.
You know, yeah. I mean, this is, you know, I definitely want to do an episode where you, me, and some other people talk about the differences between horror, 80s and 90s horror, and why people have this like affinity toward one or the other. Because I don't know if you know
Lacey Liu, but Lacey Liu needs to be involved in this.
I know of her from your she's in one of your podcasts, which tell us a little bit about the podcast that you do.
All right, so into the Pimping Ourselves Out segment. So I am on the Slumber Party Massacre podcast. We are everywhere you can find podcasts. We are also on Facebook, and we have a very lively group. But it is five girls who, well, I guess we're women, but we can call ourselves girls. We all are podcasters, and horror podcasters specifically, and we were all the token girl on the shows that we were doing. And so we decided, hey, why can't it just be all girls? So I like to say we formed the Go-Go's, right?
Nice.
So yeah, we give a female perspective on horror. We do stupid stuff. We play games, fighting out something horror related. It's a good time. And I'm also on this network, Indie Film Cafe. I'm on Sexploitation Sleazecast, where Paul A. Presenza, the Moo Cow, and I review the best worst porn ever created.
Yeah, like
good bad stuff on there.
And I think you guys have one more episode. I don't know if you guys have already recorded or not, but you guys have one last episode of this season, and then you guys will be back also next year as well. So I'm excited for that. And then you also don't you do like SOVs or SOBs who love SOV? Oh, did you? Oh man, I can't hear you right now.
Yes. Okay. So I am on a podcast. Oh, can you hear me now?
I can.
So yes, I am on a podcast, SOBs who love SOV. You can find us at the Joe Bob Briggs Silver Bolo Award winning site, SOVhorror.com. Very exciting, but we talk about all things shot on video.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca. I'm really excited to share this new podcast, and hopefully we will be back. Well, I mean, not hopefully, but we will be back. sounded terrible. We will be back next month for a brand new episode. So thank you guys for checking us out, and have a fantastic and horrifying, you know, horrifying week.
Yeah, horrifying, air quotes.
Air quotes, yes, week. Thank you, guys, and have a good one.
All right, bye. See you guys.